on. For Sunday school, for 26, for anything. For me, for you. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Are you reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you one of these. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board, which is really what we go by for the banquet to see. We need to know how many's coming so we'll know how many taters to buy. We need to know. It's important that you sign that paper. Now, these schedules, I've only got a half a dozen, but it doesn't matter. You don't have to turn them in to me. That is a ticket if you want to turn it in. But you need to sign the bulletin board if you want something to eat on that night.
Yeah.
That's the 23rd, I believe. 6 o'clock. Brother Steve, would you pray for us, please? In a Messiah, a Savior, but they were looking for the kingdom already. So that's the way I remember that Matthew wrote his book and presents the Lord Jesus Christ as a king. It's the way I remember. You don't have to do it that way. Plus, Matthew has a genealogy. You know, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. And a king can trace his genealogy back to royalty. And Mark has no genealogy, and Mark was a servant. And that's the way I remember that Brother Mark wrote his book and presented the Lord Jesus Christ from the side of a servant. A servant needs no genealogy. I got bought right off the slave market. Anybody can serve. We get to do things for the Lord. It's a great privilege. And then Luke, a lot of people believe wasn't a Jew. A lot of people believe he was a Greek. I don't really know, Gentile. But it is pretty obvious he's a doctor. He traveled with Paul and been a physical doctor, a medical doctor. And that's the way I remember that Luke presented the Lord Jesus Christ as a man. He doctored men. That's just the way I remember it. And then St. John, Brother John, wrote his book. He didn't have a genealogy because God don't need one. And that's the way I remember that John wrote his book presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as God. Now, let me ask you, it's over on this side. Where did Matthew begin? Yeah. Where did Bethlehem, good. How about where did the book of Mark begin? Bethlehem. How about Luke? Where did the book of Luke begin? Bethlehem is right. How about over here? Where did John begin?
In the beginning.
In the beginning, Brother Clark's right. Where else did it begin?
In the bosom.
In the bosom is right. Okay, let's try it again. Matthew presents his gospel, presents the Lord Jesus Christ as a king is right. Down through here, Brother Mark presents the Lord Jesus Christ in his book as a
servant.
Is right. Now down through here, Luke presents the Lord Jesus Christ in his book as a
man
is right, Brother Roger. And then Brother John presents the Lord Jesus as a as God is right. Oh, y'all doing great. Helen Keller said the Bible's the only way out of the dark. Brother Melvin said, I got more good out of reading the Bible than other people trying to teach it to me.
Yeah.
That always helps me. We're in what book?
John.
John, what chapter?
Six.
It says correct. Well, last week we looked at the first 14 verses. It's the miracle of the bread. Some call it the feeding of the 5,000. We hope, believe there was a lot more than 5,000 there. But to me, the miracle is in verse one miracle is in verse 12, St. John 6, when they were filled. How about that right there? They were filled up. That's a miracle. However many there was, 5,000, 25,000 maybe, they all got filled. They all got filled. And then in verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. The fragments is a big miracle to me. I mean, they didn't start off with one whole basket. It wasn't even a basketful the Lord started with, and he prayed to the Father in heaven, whom he always trusted for everything he did, and God blessed it, and everybody got filled, and then there was 12 baskets full of fragments left over. The Lord is a conservative. He didn't waste anything. He could have let it go. He could have poured it out. He didn't need it, but he saved it. He saved it. Now we're in verse 15. The whole chapter is the great bread chapter. The Lord is presented here as the bread. We already saw that. And then verse 15 starts the storm after the bread. After the miracle, the storm. Jesus walked on water. Peter walked on the Word. Let's look at it in Matthew 14. We get more of it in Matthew 14. The story's a little bit longer. We get more detail. Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, that would be between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. The first watch is supper time, 6 o'clock, dusk, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening. Second watch, 9 o'clock to midnight. Third watch would be midnight to 3 a.m. This would be the fourth watch. In the fourth watch, just before daylight, just before the dawn of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou." Well, he just got through saying it was thou.
Yeah.
He just got through saying it was him. But we kick Peter around a lot of times, but guess what? He got out of the boat.
Yeah.
He went farther than I did. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But when he did like Rick and looked around and saw the circumstances, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." He'll do it. November 16th, 1974, I cried out. I said, "Lord, save me. I'm a ruined sinner. I need a Savior. I need a perfect sinless substitute." And you'll never believe what he did. He saved me. That's right. "Lord, save me." That's a real good prayer right there. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth. Boy, I'd love to see that. I wonder how far he stretched out there. He knew he reached way down. When he came to where I was, he reached way down. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the big S, capital S, Son of God." Surely he is. So now back in John chapter 6, we're on verse 15. Again, Jesus walked on the water and Peter walked on the Word. 15, the master in the storm. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. That's what I'm saying. Matthew and the Jews were looking for a king. And so Matthew presented the Lord as that king. And they came to make him a king and to depart again into a mountain himself alone. Omniscience knew what they were thinking. He knew they wanted to make him a king. He didn't want to be a king. At that time, he is a king. He is the king, and he needs no genealogy. But he wanted to be the Savior, the Messiah. That's why he came the first time. They wanted delivered is what the Jews wanted. They didn't particularly want a Messiah, a Savior. They did want delivered. They were looking for a king. 16, the men in the storm. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea. 17, the moment of the storm. And they entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. It was dark the night before Jesus came. It was dark the night before that first Christmas in Bethlehem. I'm glad those others start in Bethlehem. I'm glad the first three start in Bethlehem. It was dark and dreary the night before I got saved. It was dark, the moment of the storm. The missing in the storm. Most of the time, storms hit fast. Yeah. I mean, you can lose the whole farm in one day. Finances, family, friends, foes, fitness. Sister Lois just fell. Brother Don just fell. Fitness. It happens fast. Sometimes it's fatal. It's dark. Verse 17, it was dark. Verse 18, the storm and the miracle. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. The waves and the wind, the work. They just left the mountaintop. They just left. They just saw 5,000 plus people get fed. 12 basketful of fragments, the dread and the fear, the phobias. 19, the walk in the storm. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, I've got written down here as 4 miles. I don't know, it's been a while. Anyway, they see Jesus walking on the sea. Amen. And drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. The scare before the miracle, the cause for the scare. They were in a storm. We've all been in a storm, one kind of or another. 20, the countering of the scare. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. The great I Am, the one that's above all, the removal of the fear, the revealing of God. 21, the shipmate in the miracle. And then they willingly received him. That's important. Have you received him? Have you willingly received him? That's the only way to get in.
Right.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then they willingly received him. Hallelujah. Attitude. Attitude determines my altitude. They received him into the ship. And immediately, the ship was at land whither they went. Immediately I got saved when I received him. I didn't start being good. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't start reading the Bible every day. I received him. And I received him willingly. He's welcome. He's welcome here this morning. We know he's here, but he maybe wants to know he's welcome. Dear Lord, I want you to know you're welcome. We're glad you're here. We thank you you're here. We receive you gladly in Jesus' name. Amen. They received him willingly. They welcomed him. Perhaps the only time we do this is when the storm's beating in our own little corner. That's when I call. That's when I pray. I hope I pray other times too, but I know that's when we call out. 22. Man's great hunger. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with the disciples into the boat, but that his disciples had gone away alone. They're starting to figure this out. They knew he'd not sailed with the disciples, and they knew he could not walk around so quickly. They knew that. They never once thought that he walked straight across. They didn't think about that. I wouldn't have thought about that. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh to the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. We saw last week, there's a couple of wrong reasons, if there is a wrong reason to seek Jesus. Some came to see the miracles. Some came to eat the bread. It's still good they came. And I hope we came for the right reason this morning. I hope I didn't come so you'd see my new tie and my new hairdo. I hope that's not why I came. Of my new, whatever. 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?
Yeah.
If he'd have told them, well, I walked halfway and rode halfway, they wouldn't have believed him. They wouldn't have believed that. But that's what happened. They did seek diligently and achieve their goal. They find him. They find him for whatever reason. I don't know that there's a bad reason. I just kind of said it that way. 25, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Kind of looks like there's two wrong reasons there. They're kind of saying, why don't you feed us for 40 years like Moses did, like we read about Moses doing? How about all the time? How about every day? Well, he'll do that. He does it for me every day. I had my banana this morning, peanut butter on it, and milk, cup of coffee. I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve that, but he did it. He did it. He does it every day. 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto thee. For him hath God the Father sealed. There's two essentials in bread in life, bread and water, and the Lord Jesus Christ is both. Matter of fact, he's the meat right here. He's meat. Meat, I don't know if it's essential. It's essential to Kim. She eats the meat and I eat the vegetables. I used to think that milk were the simple truths in the Word of God. It was easy to understand. And the meat was the hard parts to understand. But I finally learned, I think, what it is. That milk, that's provisions. Brother Garth's still sick, but he loves those provisions. I do too. I like the provisions on the way. But the milk is something God, the cow, provides for us. But when you're reading through the Bible and you see him, that's the meat. That's the cow right there. That's the meat. And that's what I should see every time is the meat. 28, learning about the work. And then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Well, that's been a question down through the ages. Sometimes it's an attempt by the flesh to get in. And it ought to be by faith. but we like to do it by the flesh. Let's look at some verses here. 2 Kings 5. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean. See, salvation is really simple. But man likes to complicate it. See, it'd be a lot harder if you had to get baptized to get saved. That is works. Or to pray the sevenfold amens. Works. What if you had to go to Sunday school every Sunday for 28 years? What if you had to do stuff like that? If the Lord wants to do some great thing, we would do it just to make sure we'd get to go to heaven, but it's not that way at all. He just wants me to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. All I need to do is willingly receive Him. That's it, period. Plus nothing. Minus nothing. Jesus is salvation. When you get Him, you get everything. You get the farm, you get the buildings out back, you get the barn, you get the John Deere tractor, you get everything. When you get Him, you get everything. We like to mix it up and try to get in by the flesh, but that's not it. It's by faith. It's by trust. God picked something that even a child could do. We illustrated here before when Briley, I think it was, and Shane stood right there, held out his arms, and she jumped. She never hesitated. She knew the Father was able. She knew she was willing. And she bailed off. She bailed off. And that's all we need to do is trust Him. It's too easy. Sometimes it just goes over us. Some like to do it by the flesh, but it has to be by faith. It has to be by faith. I'm talking about getting born again, how we get saved. I'm not talking about after we get saved. Yeah, we're supposed to serve after. Let's look at it in Romans 3. But don't get the cart before the horse. You receive first. Willingly receive Him first. And then He'll tell you what to do if you want to do something. Let's try Romans 3:25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. Talking about the Lord Jesus. Verses 9 or 10 through 23 are real popular, famous. I use them a lot. But here in 25 now, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. See, we don't have any. That He might be just and the justifier. He justifies us. The justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, in the Bible, the ones that believed are the ones that received. That believe by faith. We're saved by faith. We live by faith. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. See, if I got in by works, by being good, I may have something to boast about. But not going by faith. That's only by going by flesh, by religion. Boasting is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Faith excludes boasting. I got in because He's good. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. See, there's a real strange phenomenon that goes on. A sinner will tell you how good he is. But you come in here one morning, Miss Hope's here, she'll start telling you how bad she is. A saved person knows how bad they are. But a lost person will always tell you how good they are. It seems to me like. 29. verse 29, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. This sums it up better than anything I've tried to say. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, okay? You want to work? Here it is. That you believe on Him whom He has sent." That's the work of God. That's it, period. Matthew 19:16. I was a ruined sinner, and I haven't got much better. He redeemed me. He bought me back out of the slave market. Matthew 19:16. "And behold, one came and said to him, 'Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" Well, the answer is back here in John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to him, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent." There's nothing makes the Lord happier than me walking around trusting Him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. It makes Him happy, and it makes us happy. Not by works of righteousness, but faith in the righteous one. There's only been one that's righteous. It's Him. It's Him. Verse 30, the bread of life. Let's look at it in 11:25, first of all. Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me," there it is again, "believeth," saved by faith, "though he were dead, yet shall he live." And you see it in 1 John 5:12. We just got through saying when you get Him, you get everything. Here's another place that says it. "He that hath the Son," it's a capital S Son, and it's a present tense verb. Do you have Him? I'm glad. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's how simple it is. Every word's a one-syllable word. Even I can understand it. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's no getting baptized. There's no being good. There's no reading the Bible every day, praying every day. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's no joining up. You don't have to join up. You don't have to join anything except Him. Except Him. Verse 30, back to John 6, verse 30. "And they said therefore unto Him, 'What sign showest thou that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?'" Well, if you see, that's not faith. You don't see and believe. You believe and then later on He'll show you. Faith is you believe first. You receive Him first on faith. You don't see. He already showed them all kinds of signs. He done turned water to wine. He healed the man at the pool of Bethesda. He just got through feeding 5,000. A miracle. All the fragments left over. There were signs everywhere if they wanted to see them. If you don't want to, you don't want to. This is the wonders of God demand. They're demanding God to show them a sign. 31's the dictation. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And then 32 is the wheat of God, the bread of God. "For the bread of God is He." Now don't miss that part. The bread of God is He. It's a person. It's a person. "The bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life." unto the world. That's eternal life. True and free. But here's an example of more unbelief. And they give credit to a dead ruler. A dead leader. 33's divine. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. It's plentiful. It's just rolling around everywhere. You can get in this morning if you want to. If you don't have Him, you can get in. 34 is desired. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And 35 is Christ. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And he wrote it down. I am the bread from heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Christ's name. Amen.